Number 6B.
So we go back to the text in the textbook and take that very short text on principle. Perhaps we remember what was the fourth main edition. The fourth main edition was that when Mrs. Eddy cut out of the text on demonology everything that had to do with people and made, therefore, the text impersonal. So that she began to see, I have to see the principle of the fact and the principle of what as a counterfeit appears as personal animal magnetism. So I have here the epitome for the whole tone of principle that mind science operates in accordance with the divine principle. Therefore, animal magnetism has no divine principle. So this is a further point that we have to see, that the question of animal magnetism, a question without the divine principle, therefore it has no root in being, whereas on the other side, mind science, that's a fact about animal magnetism, mind science, operates always according to a divine principle. The text here is full of that sense, that principle is self-operating. We don't have to have a practitioner that operates malpractice. Principle is something that operates without people. It's self-operative. That principle practices itself. It's no more so that we practice principle, because principle anyway would not obey us. We are not bigger than principle, therefore we cannot practice principle, but principle practices us and practices itself, so that principle requires no person through which to operate. Whereas in animal magnetism, we see that operate through person, namely the person of the practitioner and the person of the patient. So here we have, so to say, a new text that is showing us the self-operative power of principle. Let's see what she says right away as a subtone of mind, first to touch on that. She says, on the other hand, referring back to the third main tone, mind science is wholly separate from any halfway impertinent knowledge. That's a very strong statement, mind science is separate from halfway impertinent knowledge. In other words, she says that everything that is resting on the mental practice, on mental activities, mental influence, is animal magnetism, and that has no scientific foundation. It is a halfway knowledge and is a very impertinent knowledge. Impertinent because it says the human mind can do also something which the divine mind can't do. It's very impertinent. If God can't do it, then the human mind can't do it either. So why rely on the human mind, on the mortal mind, if there is a divine mind that can do everything? She goes on and says, because mind science is of God and demonstrates the divine principle. Just to this point, working out the purposes of good only. So we have here the self-operative power of mind science that is of God and demonstrates the divine principle and works out. We don't have to work it out, but works out the purpose of good only. Gives already a bridge to the next point of good, of spirit, but the main point is that we see that principle as mind is one of the most wonderful combination that we can have in practice, because it says not the practitioner is going to heal a case. The practitioner has not the power to heal a case, because mind science refers everything to God and not to people. and that God works, that mind science works through a principle, and that principle works out the purpose of God, good only. So we see the self-operative power of principle for the purpose of good. It really relieves us, so to say, of trying to have the responsibility for bringing out a demonstration. That is not our responsibility. Our responsibility is not to go out from any standpoint outside of God. Our responsibility is to go out from the standpoint of principle. From the infinite one in Christian Science comes one infinite principle, and its infinite idea. That's our responsibility. And that's our practice, not to practice on the patient, but our practice is that we practically always go out from principle. That's our practice. And if we go out from principle, principle works by itself. And we see that then we don't give any opposition and do not interfere with principle's purpose of bringing out the best that principle has in store for us. This brings us to a little further touch of spirit, the maximum of good. See how she builds now the bridge. Principle as mind works out and operates for what? For principle as spirit, namely for good only. And the maximum of good is what? The infinite God and his idea, the all in all. Can we have a higher standpoint than that in our practice, that we see that therefore the maximum of good is what? If we go out from the infinite God and his idea. That's a standpoint of the 6,000-year period that says, well, I go out from the synonymous term, and that synonymous term can only know itself through its infinite ideas, through God's ideas. I don't, in that consciousness, I not even think that there is evil, that there could be evil, that there could be the possibility of a suppositional lie. I just exclude that because God is all in all, she says here. Therefore, evil is only a suppositional lie. It's not even a lie. If it would be a lie, it would be something that I would have to handle. But if it's a suppositional lie, then I don't even have to handle that, because it's only supposed it isn't real. It isn't fact. Yes. That's this statement that Mrs. Eddy changed in the year 1909, shortly before, a year before she left us. And it's one of the last statements that she changed in this edition. Can you see how she must have really labored and labored and labored, that she was really laboring with the angels? How can I state the science of being so that it is unmistakable? And one can see she must have labored up to this point, because we have seen that before 1909 she still had that sense. What was it? I remember we saw it that before she had that the maximum of good was still called, is always met by the maximum of suppositional evil. So it was still a struggle. It was still the Michael sense of things that she had, the struggle between good and evil. And only at 1909 she did away with the Michael state of consciousness and gave the Gabriel state of consciousness, and said, you don't have to have an opposition, you don't have to struggle with a dragon, you just have to see the Gabriel state of thing, love never losing sight of loveliness, love that has always only one object in view, and that's love itself, so that there is no evil to be fought against, no warfare anymore. That's what she then calls the divine warfare, where we don't war anymore. It's quite a terrific statement. And I think this is, so to say, this very statement, this very change at the end, gives us a clue that at the end of Mrs. Eddy's life, she began to see that she has finally found the answer in divine science. But her presentation was Christian science. Then she goes on with that principle and through soul defines now that principle and defines animal magnetism as what it is. Namely, as named in Christian science now, not as named by Mesmer, or as named by psychology, or as named by Quimby, but as named in Christian science, animal magnetism or hypnotism is a specific term for error or mortal mind. So it's just a specific term for error. It is the false belief that mind is in matter and is both evil and good, that evil is as real as good and more powerful. So here she gives really the definition of animal magnetism in its shortest definition, and we can see that this definition, you see, she defines animal magnetism, the specific term, what is that specific term, and gives it on line 20. And that definition is completely different than the definition she gave on mesmerism and animal magnetism in the earlier editions. In the earlier edition, she said, well, mesmerism is what? Is that the sick can be influenced through the thought of another individual and that error can be transferred through the thought of other individuals. You see, that has nothing anymore to do here with the statement that is all about showing the powerlessness of animal magnetism, which is just the belief. And it's interesting to see how she really defines that belief. You see, I named it, so that soul naming it as a specific term of error, namely as a false belief that mind is in matter. That's always soul. That soul always, the counterfeit of soul, sorry, that always says that the greater is in the lesser, that God is in body, that soul is in body. That's always the counterfeit belief, and if that's animal magnetism. Or that evil is as real as good, you see, the counterfeit of soul, the counterfeit of spirit that has only good and not the knowledge of good and evil, and then furthermore and more powerful, that's a counterfeit of mind. So she really reduces, so to say, the term animal magnetism to the counterfeit of mind, spirit, soul. That definition is a clear definition of the first three main subjects and counterfeits those three main subjects. The counterfeit of mind, that there is a power outside of God. What kind of power? Namely, that evil is a greater power than good, that spirit, and that therefore that mind is in matter, therefore that there is a mingling of matter and mind which makes a body, always when you have that, and so it counterfeits really soul. So if you read that and always come back to these three fundamental aspects of mind, spirit, soul, or its counterfeit, which is animal magnetism, then we have touched really the true definition of something. You remember how when we went through the textbook that we could always see that Mrs. Eddy would always build up a subject through mind, spirit, soul, because they are those three fundamental arguments that can be mistaken. And then she comes to principle, where she then decides now which one of these arguments are really scientific and which are not scientific, and puts now the arguments either on the side of being non-scientific or of being scientific, and then says, and that principle then, if we have seen that in its proper light, then only then principle can demonstrate itself as life, truth, and love. So also here one has to see through these very abbreviated statements and definitions that are given here that they all always rely on mind, spirit, soul, or on its counterfeit, which I bring out for the one and only purpose now to show how simple really science becomes when one reduces it to the capitalized terms, so that all the most intricate questions can always be reduced to mind, spirit, soul. If it is on the basis of mind, fine. If it's on the basis of spirit, fine. If it's on the basis of soul, fine. Then we have found the principle of a question. Then that principle can really work without any hindrance, can demonstrate itself as life, truth, and love. But if we have not as our basis the divine mind, but mortal mind, if we have as our basis evil or matter and not good or spirit, if we have as our basis the testament of the physical senses or the belief that the greater is in the lesser, then we have a wrong basis, then we have not the principle, and then that principle can never demonstrate itself as life, truth, and love. So as you entertain these big aspect, you will see that everything becomes so simple. That's what science naturally should do, that it should reduce and reduce to simplicity. She goes on and gives a touch of principle which can hardly be seen in it because it's so brief. It's that line 22, this belief has not one quality of truth. It is neither ignorant or malicious. This gives a sense that there are various categories in that genus of error. That's the side heading, the genus of error. What is the genus of error? What is the classification, the species of error? And she says, well, it is that which has not one quality of truth. That's a species. And it takes away from it everything. And so she says, it is neither ignorant nor malicious. In other words, animal magnetism says, I have many species, I have many classifications, I have many genuses of error. Animal magnetism says, there is conscious animal malpractice. There is unconscious animal magnetism, or there is ignorant animal magnetism, or there is deliberate animal magnetism, or that there is intentional animal magnetism, that there is unscientific animal magnetism, that there is malicious animal magnetism, that there is benevolent animal magnetism, that there is sympathetic animal magnetism, that there is aggressive animal magnetism. You have all kinds of open animal magnetism, of secret animal magnetism. So animal magnetism says there is not just one thing. I am many things. I am many classifications of animal magnetism. And the worst of it is actually the benevolent animal magnetism, that which wants to do good, but on a false basis, that operates on really sympathy and empathy, which is nothing but benevolent animal magnetism. So here we really go right down to the core of any influence, namely that we see the only influence that fundamentally is right is the influence of the divine principle. That's the only influence, and that has only one classification, namely that animal magnetism is nothing. That's the only classification, that it has not one quality of truth. That's the genus of error. Yes. So that was a bit a difficult point to see when one was decoding the text. But then you see it comes in a touch of life, or the counterfeit of life, namely, the malicious form of hypnotism ultimates in moral idiocy. So you can see that the counterfeit of life is moral idiocy, whereas the truth of immortal mind, the true sense, sustains man. Life is that which sustains, which maintains, provides, conserves, and so on. It maintains man. And they annihilate, now you have life annihilates what? the fables of mortal mind, whose flimsy and gaudy pretension, like silly moths, singe their own wings and fall into dust, and fall into dust. They decay. So she shows here, so to say, the self-operation of principle, in which way? What have we seen? First, a self-operation of principle. First, from the point of view of mind, she would show here that from the point of view of mind, the self-operation of principle is the basis of operation and operates only through mind science. That's the beginning. That it operates through the science of mind and not through pseudo-science of halfway impertinent knowledge. It operates only through the mind science. That's wonderful. Think of it that all other principles in the universe don't operate through the mind of God. They don't operate through the mind of God. So we lift out, really, every science out of itself, out of a human basis, out of a material basis, and lift it into the realm of God. Then that principle is self-operative on the basis of spirit, namely that operation is only bringing out the works of good, never less than good, and it works out the maximum of good, not anything lesser than the maximum of good. It's terrific. Then we see it from the point of view of soul and say that animal magnetism defines now, sorry, that the divine principle operating through soul can now define and name what really animal magnetism is. Only from that standpoint can we see the erroneousness of animal magnetism, because we have seen she defines then the animal magnetism as a compound of the counterfeit of mind, that it has power, as a counterfeit of spirit, that evil is also reality, and the counterfeit of soul, that mind is in body, that body is also a factor in it, so that it names now the fundamentals of animal magnetism, which is completely different than what she has been defining in earlier times. In earlier times, she just could define animal magnetism as people being in contact with other people, as an influence of one person to another person, of one character to another character. You see, it was all on the level of people and of mentality and of matter and so on. Here she lifts it right up to the counterfeits of the synonymous terms, mind, spirit, soul. So she named now animal magnetism, defined it as a counterfeit of mind, spirit, soul, and says, this is the only animal magnetism. It's the one gender of animal magnetism. There aren't many genders of animal magnetism. So I don't have to handle those many genders of animal magnetism in a different way. I can handle them all in one way. No matter if they are benevolent or if they are malicious, no matter if they are unconscious or if they are intentional, no matter if they are sympathetic or if they are benevolent or if they are aggressive, all that doesn't matter. Because then she says that self-operation of principle, viewed through the lens of life, shows then that self-operation of principle brings animal magnetism down to dust. It kills, it destroys animal magnetism. So that if we go out really from principle as mind and as spirit and as soul and as principle, we see that takes care of animal magnetism, that it just does not exist anymore, that it is just wiped away and is no more a factor in our contemplation. So this is a big subject, because as we have seen in earlier times, the teaching was, how do we handle malicious animal magnetism, ignorant animal magnetism, benevolent animal magnetism, and so on. One had rules for every kind of animal magnetism. One was more afraid of malicious animal magnetism than of benevolent animal magnetism. One liked benevolent animal magnetism very much, one disliked malicious animal magnetism. All that are classifications of error, but from the point of view of principle, there's only one category of animal magnetism, that it is the opposite of truth and has not one quality of truth. That's the tone of principle. Yes, well, we make a break here before we start with a new subject.